Hey guys, this is Emil Heskey, and you're listening to the guys of Coppin' Crackers.
The longest wait, a generation on and more, for the 19th time in their history, for the first time in the Premier League.
Hi everybody and welcome to this week's episode of Coppin' Fracas, powered by Touchline Media Group. I am your host this week, Krish, and I am delighted to be joined by Anik, Ellis, Marco, and last but not least, Glam. Glam, I know you're going. I know you're going first. I'm sorry to leave you at the bottom of the list there, brother. let's get a bit of housekeeping out of the way. If you have not already, I know we keep telling you, and you know, the more if you do it, we won't have to tell you anymore. If you could head over to YouTube and type in Touchline Fracas and subscribe and set alerts for the Touchline Fracas YouTube channel. So much good visual content on there at the moment. A lot of good stuff from Mugger, a lot of good stuff from Chessie, a lot more good stuff to come from ourselves here at Coppin' Fracas as well. So please do head over there and hit subscribe on that button. And if you're enjoying what we're doing here at Coppin', please head over to patreon.com/Coppin' Fracas. And from as little as £3 a month, you can subscribe to exclusive Coppin' Fracas content. That could be Marco's Op Watch written piece. It can be extra podcasts from ourselves where we're discussing topics that we don't have time for on the main pod, in all honesty. And of course, all of our in-depth pieces and exclusive interviews as well. So please do head over to patreon.com/Coppin' Fracas and sign up today. So, fellas, let's get cracking on with the pod. And it's just been an absolutely insane international break. I detest the notions of international breaks at the best of times, let alone in a period where we are being ravaged by a global pandemic and it's a jam-packed season as well. And for Liverpool, it's just seemed like, I don't know if you all watched The Godfather, but you know, near the end of the film where Michael's become he's become the head of the family. So, you know, he's the Don now, he's Don Corleone. And he organises all these different hits on his enemies just to make sure he's still at the top of the table. Yeah. That's how it genuinely felt with our fucking injuries in the past week or so. So, Els, I'll come to you on this. It's been fucking brutal.
Absolutely mental, man. Absolutely mental. First it starts with Van Dijk, then you're just hoping that Gomez and everyone else stays fit. Then you see Gomez out for the whole season. And you're thinking, Jesus, what? Obviously, Trent out. Then you hear Robertson's taking up a little knock. Henderson, Salah's got COVID. Absolutely mental, yeah. And like you said, at the top of your point, we don't really like international break at the best of times. But then in the middle of a pandemic, global pandemic, to allow players to travel across the world, and when the season just started the other day and these players have played so many minutes already, to say that they need to go and play for the international breaks, which is away from their usual team, as you can find out with like Gomez. Because had Gomez been with Liverpool, I doubt he gets injured like that, because they would have seen the levels he's at and how close to proximity he is to injury. So it is very annoying. It is very frustrating that we are now in this position where we possibly won't have our back four, our natural back four, playing against Leicester. And I informed Leicester, I might add. So, we're in a bit of a shitstorm at the minute. If we get out of Leicester with a point, these lads are absolutely sick. If we get 3 points, okay, no, mate, just give us the title right now.
Mate, I've been praying every day. I've been up early getting my prayer in, you know what I mean? Just to make sure that everyone's fit and firing for the weekend. Robertson at least, because good Lord. We need help on that end. Glam, I'll come to you. This is something we wanted to discuss on last week's pod in terms of scheduling for this season. It's already a jam-packed, condensed schedule, and players have been asked to run into the red zone early on. And we've seen it ourselves that we've had players such as Trent, who's been asked to go again and again each week, And ideally, we would have liked to have given some minutes to, say, Neco Williams at right back in games such as Midtjylland or maybe even Atalanta away. But we just haven't had that possibility to do that with the injuries you had in the defence.
Yeah.
How much of a concern is it for you? And, you know, we've not had the five subs either, which hasn't been introduced, which is a pain in the arse. Yeah. How much is it a concern for you that football bodies just don't have any form of concern for player safety at the moment?
Well, it's definitely a concern, that goes without saying. What my issue is that, you know, these jam-packed international games and in a short space of time, and they're just meaningless. I'm not an international fan, but at the end of the day, some of these games don't need to be played at that speed. Some of them don't even need to be played. And on top of it, we've been affected massively. You know, we've lost our centre-back for the same amount of time that we lost our other choice centre-back. And the most one that annoys me is the COVID thing. If you've got COVID restrictions already, you've got everyone mixing international from different bubbles. It's a joke. And now we're suffering from it. We're deep suffering. I know we're going to get conversation with Joe Gomez, but that doesn't give us another body. We're short on bodies. And I do say, should Klopp let them go? But Klopp's powerless. He can't do nothing for that. The players are going to want to go play for their country. So he's powerless. Do you know what I mean? But I just think the lack of support is embarrassing. And it goes back to when we had to play our World Cup game and we played our kids, you know what I mean? And they got slaughtered by Villa. Again, where was the support then? So it goes about saying, man, I just think it's a joke.
Alec, I'll come to you on this and kind of a natural pickup of where Glam left off. We had both Pep and Klopp after our game against Manchester City saying that it is asinine. They're going away for an international break when they're already pushed to the limit. And lo and behold, both two players from both teams go off and get injured in essentially what are meaningless games. And I'll be completely honest with you, I don't really know what the fuck the UEFA Nations League really is. I don't know what the end goal of it is. I don't know what the point of it is, in all honesty. So in terms of the meaningfulness of the fixture, I don't really understand. But it's just so annoying to see that across the board, players are going away and then getting either injured or COVID and then the clubs have been told to just get on with it.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the COVID point, which also needs to be highlighted here. It's like the season got stopped last year, which required us to spill over into this year and then condense the fixtures, which therefore lead, you know, obviously to more injuries. And I think the fact that we're in like a global pandemic, which Ellis touched on, means that, you know, as time goes on and as people are traveling, there's increased likelihood of the cases going up. And whether it be people actually being diagnosed with coronavirus, if they're getting symptoms, or even if they're testing negative and then testing positive or vice versa. And I think that's exactly what's happened here with Salah. And I think even this week, there's been 16 new cases across the Premier League. And this weekend, the Premier League is going into its run of fixtures with teams right across the board all affected. I think last week it was only four players that tested positive. I think as a result of the international break and travelling around, it's gone up to 16. So I think, obviously, first and foremost, Liverpool have been affected by it, but teams right across the board have been affected. And that's probably worth, you know, calling out and just understanding that, fair enough, you can get injuries from fatigue and the amount of games you're playing. But then there's this also global pandemic that's taking place, and the fact that, you know, people are picking up, you know, symptoms, people are, you know, being diagnosed with it. It just affects us adversely. And actually, even further to that, following the protocol from coronavirus. So like, if now Salah has coronavirus, there was, I think, reports yesterday saying that, oh yeah, he'll be fit and available for Leicester. But now all of a sudden, I think it's just come out and turned around and said that actually he needs to self-isolate for 10 days. So as a club, we don't even know whether we have players available as a result of this. It's just, it's especially when it comes to COVID, I think it's a bit of a sticky situation for us.
Yeah, it's. I think the 16 figure was from people who hadn't got international, got away on internationals. So that was people exactly, who remained at home, which is insane in itself that you've seen that increase from you know, people who have been within the clubs and just getting on with the day to day, and let alone when you consider that was it someone on the Ireland team who was diagnosed who was diagnosed after Doherty. The fixture.
And Doherty's now got it. Doherty's got it now. But yeah, but there was a player that was playing, and then at halftime that was crazy.
And I mean, there's the Brazilian defender who had it, who's now possibly put Alisson, Firmino, Gabriel Jesus at risk, Richarlison as well. So the knock-on effects are absolutely insane for what's going on. Mark, I'll come to you on this, because we get to hear your wonderful voice. It's time. Is it time?
By the way, fuck Richarlison, bro.
Agreed. Fuck him. Is it time for the Premier League to get with the times and just adopt the five substitutes rule, first and foremost?
First of all, I've got two words, null and void. Those two words, it should be cancelled right now. So all these naysayers from last season that were screaming null and void, I can't hear your voices now. I know how much we miss football and I know how exciting it was to have a game every day, but you can't keep putting families, players' families at risk at this point. I think the free substitution rule was very, very stupid, especially in times like these when we are increasing the workload on players and are increasing fixtures. We should be allowing them enough recovery time and providing them the most amount of opportunity to recover. So with the five substitution rule, and we're the only top tier league that hasn't adopted that rule. Obviously, that leads onto a knock-on effect in Continental Cups where we're playing competitively against other teams and they've been able to rest and they're able to have five substitution in their own domestic leagues. So I think that should have been adopted a long time ago. UEFA are doing it in Champions League, which is unprecedented. So why not do it in the Premier League at the moment? I personally feel like I understand why people think it would have meant the top level size of more depth would have an advantage. But at the same time, all clubs are struggling with COVID. All clubs are struggling with fixture pileup. So even though it would be an advantage, it's not a significant advantage. Players could come on and not do a thing. Like, we've got players at our club, I'm not going to name any names, who would come on the pitch and not do anything. But who knows? That could be league-wide. That could be Newcastle bringing on someone like Ryan Fraser, who isn't starting at the moment, who could be their fourth choice substitute and could make a difference in a game like that. So the advantage goes both ways, in my opinion. If you have quality on the bench, even if it is one player, that can still benefit you in some sort of form. And we need to be thinking about these players' well-being first and foremost.
Which means you can efficiently manage minutes as well. So if you have two players who are increasingly approaching that kind of red zone of their performance and, you know, where they can be, let's say Joel Matip, for instance, you can manage and stagger his minutes a lot more efficiently over the course of both competitions as you would as just having him as a Premier League player. Obviously, we know now that he only played one game a week, which is a bit of a pain in the arse in itself. So it's just so frustrating, it's, like you said, Mark, to see all the other top leagues adopt this and for some unknown reason, the only league that just doesn't do it. So it's just... It's diabolical for me. And, you know, in the way we are in society, where we're supposed to be kind of like putting everybody first, to put all these families, all these players at risk and their players' families at risk as well, it's just nothing short of bad. But let's just pull back onto our injuries for a second. Looking forward to Leicester. Glam, who the fuck is going to play? Might be you and Ellis at this rate, centre back.
Oh, mate. I think the whole back fours are going to be out. They're definitely going to be out. I think Robertson. To be honest, I'm a bit more optimistic than Ellis in terms of the point other in. I think we should still win. I'll be honest. I think we should still win. We're going to have Jota available. We're going to have Firmino. We're going to have Mane. Well, fingers crossed. Yeah. If we do, you know, they're going to cause Leicester problems. If you ask me, obviously, who should play. Is that what you're asking, who should play there? Then, obviously, Matip. I would put, because of the pace of Vardy, a wild one, I would start Henderson at centre back.
I had to unmute for that. Glam. Fabinho's available, bro.
He's not available,
He should be available.
It's for one game. I don't know. I think that's a rush, personally. I think we should play the players that are fit. But then again, Henderson as well. I just see today, in saying that, I just said it, Henderson probably might not be fit either. So, down to your point, Christian, I don't fucking know, bruv. I don't know who's going to play, bro. I'll be honest.
I was expecting you to say Nat Phillips, though.
Phillips is capable, but I don't know who's available, I'll be honest. Like, to even name a team. Do you know what I mean? So, whoever's available, obviously, I could put a team there, but I can't tell you who's available to even play, I'll be honest.
I will play Young Reece.
Yeah, I'll play Reece still. That's my pick right now.
It'll be mad. It'll be mad. It is a mad shout, I know, but...
Yes, Vardy versus Reece, but...
I don't think...
Baptism of fire. I believe in you, Reece. If you're listening to this, I know Fabinho put up our thing, our intro last year and that on his Twitter, so I know it gets across to you, man, sometimes. But Reece, do a job.
I think Fabinho's just come back, so I don't know. Just coming from a hammy injury versus Vardy is not really what you really need currently, man.
True.
You don't want him opening
the joints,
You don't really want that. Going back to the five subs, I've seen that the Championship are now going to allow five subs from this weekend. So hopefully, Premier League will open their eyes and allow for the five subs. But for Leicester, I've seen a lot of people saying they put Milner at right back. Sorry, not for
Ah, get out of here, man. Milner gets Harvey Barnes. Harvey Barnes will smoke him.
Not for me.
Barnes will eat him up.
I know we don't really rate, or we do rate Nico Williams, but we feel that he's not ready. But fam, just you're ready by the grace of Almighty God, fam, just play.
Yeah, Nico will play. Nico's got to play.
I can't see Milner at right back. Milner is a professional. He's very fit, but being fit in terms of like running around, doing laps, and being like fit for a Premier League game is so different. And I feel that Milner can't do that at right back, let alone centre mid. Timiskas is available. I'll play Timiskas.
I would play Timiskas as well. So I was about to say that. I don't mind letting Robbo rest it out for a bit.
Yeah,
Timiskas, he seems really sharp. He came on against Atlanta. He got across into the box, had like 2 minutes or 3 minutes to play. Ran down the wing, got across into the box. That's what we need, man. We just need a bit of passion to carry us through these next few games still. I know Anik loves that saying.
That's all right.
That's
how we play Milner in the centre of the park.
Yeah, you'd have
kind of Cody
there, wouldn't it?
Of course he would.
I mean, you look at it and this is literally the reason Shimakas was purchased. You know what I mean? Yeah. To be the backup to Robbo and to fill in these scenarios where we need to rotate. Neco, I do understand to a degree some of the concerns, but mate, if you're ready, you're ready. And with what we ask our fullbacks to do, go out and do it, man. Yeah. The only concern for me out of all of it is midfield, because I'm hoping that Thiago will be available to play this game.
Nah.
But I doubt it. Yeah.
No.
Then do you have a conversation of what the fuck do you do in midfield? Because you're asking, I'm going to assume that Wijnaldum's then going to end up playing 3 games on international duty.
Yeah.
Which is a concern again. Henderson might not be available. Curtis Jones might have to play. And then you'll probably be playing Milner in central midfield.
No, Naby's there. Get Milner out of here, man. It has to be Naby. Yeah.
Genie, Naby and Jones.
Turn it up, man. Yeah, Genie, Naby and Jones. I have a very, very strong feeling that Henderson's back. I think it is the whole Klopp making a call and saying, wrap up my captain. Don't fuck around. You just lost me my last senior centre-back. Don't fuck with me. So,
literally, bro. It's literally, he's got injured, he's got hammy. I think it was just Klopp just called Darren Fair. Listen, bro, if you know what's good for you, fam, you will send Henderson right now. Even I know what's his name, Robertson. Like, he's probably spoke to
Clark.
Yeah, he spoke to Clark. So, listen, yo, you've qualified, He doesn't need to play. Put him on the bench. You know what I'm saying? And I think more managers should do that. And I get it. They don't want to give managers, club managers, the power. But at the end of the day, the clubs are the one that brings in the money, and the clubs are the one the players play for week in, week out. Do you know what I'm saying? So they should.
Yeah, if you're looking at it in purely business terms, if you're the club, that's our asset.
Literally,
yeah.
He's on loan to you.
Literally, exactly. He's on loan to you, so you have to do what we say, basically. And if it was left to me, fam, I'm telling everyone to come home, and I'm paying everyone fines and whatever I pay.
I'm pulling everybody home. I'm pulling every single person home. I won't even actually.
I think they had a quiet word. I think definitely Klopp has, because
with Klopp, I doubt it was quiet still, especially after he's feeling this week. Definitely.
I can only imagine how that phone call went with Southgate, by the way. Well, I can imagine him like going to Gareth.
Yeah,
how you doing? Oh, it's good news. Wait, what? They're all fucking coming back now, all right?
There's a few F-bombs in that, bro.
So now I've heard this is, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, sorry about this, but I think this is Gomez's third injury while on international duty, or international friendly, and he's missed 150 days of football so far due to those injuries.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Southgate, who was the under-21s manager, whilst he tore his ACL and... Yep. I don't want to put it in these words so it might be untrue, but he made him play on.
Did he?
Or didn't bring him off at the relevant time? Glenn, you might have more info on that.
Yeah, he did, but I don't think he realised the extent of the damage, and I don't think Gomez did either. But you know, this you got your fucking physios on the sidelines.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? So it weren't like it was at a Sunday park, and obviously. We had Marco coming on the picture saying, "No, you want some water?"
Yeah,
some fucking professional players.
Professionals, man.
You know what I'm lad, do you want some lifted treats?
What's the cookies?
They're killing us, bro. They're absolutely finishing us. I don't want to be disrespectful to England, but yeah, let me mute my mic.
But if Ellis doesn't say it, I might have to still.
It's a family friendly program. Let's not.
Yeah, man. Bang fraud if you can. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, let's talk about Gomez in a bit more detail there. And it pains me so much because this is a guy we've all seen develop so much at the club, improve his game. Gone from playing left back to playing right back, then settling to central defence, I was going to say central midfield there, and perform at possibly one of the highest levels we've seen from under 24 centre back in God knows how long. I mean, we all had the talk about Matthias De Ligt and other centre backs of kind of that in that age bracket, but he's well and by far above in that bracket. He's performed so well, and to see him pick up like a third serious injury, obviously the first one being the ACL, the second one being that broken leg that he got against Burnley when he was absolutely butchered by Phil Bardsley, and now this in what is described as a non-contact injury on international duty that will rule him out for possibly the rest of the season, it's just so disheartening. And just wishing the best of recoveries and the swiftest of recoveries as well. But I want to touch on anything now. Obviously, we've seen him hit these heights that he's hit. How much do you think that will impact his future development more than anything?
I think it will impact him a lot. With Gomez, like you said, unfortunately, he's had three big injuries that's taken up to three seasons out of him. If you want to say that, it's taken three seasons out. And we even saw this season where we was saying that he wasn't playing at a level, but then when you sit back and you think about it, he's never had to play, or he's never played that stretch of games for so long or ever. So obviously you will get to him he's playing 10 games in a row. I don't think he's done that before, or 15 games in a row. So it's going to be a stop-start career for him. Thankfully, he's still young. He's still 23, 24. When he comes back, I don't anticipate Liverpool to rush him. it'll give him as much time as possible to heal properly. But yeah, it's very unfortunate because he was at a level, even with Van Dijk getting injured, he was somewhat getting to another good level. He was starting to become the senior player at the centre-back. We're seeing the quality that he has. My big thing is his pace. I don't know how quick he's going to be. You know what I'm saying? That burst of pace that he has. He's an aggressive defender. It's unfortunate. It is very unfortunate for him. I feel sorry for him because, what's the point of playing, man? He's fams. Long-term injuries and injuries that are devastating like that. It's very unfortunate, man.
Yeah, I think in addition to what Ellis said, I think, you know, obviously Van Dijk's injury, it was the worst of the worst. And, like, it gave Gomez an opportunity to come in and step up and, you know, be that senior defender. And to be fair to him, he's come in and done a respectable job. And it would have obviously shown his credentials to the team, how valuable he is, and we're not always, you know, relying on Van Dijk. I know you guys don't appreciate the international stage, but also it would have allowed him to cement him as like England's best centre-back, which I think he was as well, ahead of what's
is,
there.
Is present yeah. tense.
It would have just allowed him to sort of go up. Yeah, it would have just allowed him just to go up to the next level, which I definitely feel really, really sorry for, because he was putting together a good run of fixtures. We thought, oh yeah, you know, he's gonna be the one to pull us through, and it's really just unfortunate the way it's happened. But I suppose, look, he's come back from an ACL before. I know he doesn't have an ACL now, but he's got a knee injury. He came back and he came back, you know, a better player. And he's also had other injuries. I think he had an injury towards the end of 2018. And then Matip came in for the run of the 18-19 season. But then even last year, he came back and he'd done a sterling job. So he has had injuries in the past. And his track record shows that he's always bounced back stronger. So, I've got a firm belief that he can come back and he will be the same player, if not better.
I think one thing that stands really well for him is the fact that he's going to go through his recovery with Van Dijk. After hearing what Ox has said about long-term injuries and having people around him that are keeping him through the journey and keeping him motivated through the journey, I feel like both of them going out at the same time, especially with how close they are, would mean they motivate each other, reassure each other, and just literally hold each other's hand through the process while they recover. Ideally, we get someone in January who will be able to step in and mean that we don't rush either of them back until next year. Ideally, I don't want to see any of them play football until next pre-season, just so that they do have that time to recover and they feel like they're fully ready as opposed to coming in with an injury. One thing I am slightly concerned about, though, is, as well as what Ellis said about pace, is Gomez pulling out of tackles. So I'm not too sure if you don't remember this, but I was saying on our WhatsApp group that he looked really, really timid in the challenge. I can't remember what game it was, but he looked really, really timid in the challenge. And when we have two centre-backs that are not going to be on the front foot, we're going to need either Fabinho, Thiago or Henderson to be an absolute destroyer in that midfield, just so they're not forced into making rash challenges. So I'm not sure how that works, but we'll see. We've got enough time to sort that out. We've got enough time to see how they come back.
Yeah, no, there's a lot I do want to touch on there from what you said, Mark, but I think I'll start off by plugging the fact that we've currently got a thread on Twitter. You can go over and look at that now with some of the centre-backs that we came and discussed as a cop in brain trust. So you can go over and look at that thread and see what you think of our suggestions. And of course, myself, yourself, me and Ellis and Mike put out a pod entitled Four Kings, where we did a bit more of an in-depth analysis on four centre-backs that we chose, which is now available on our Patreon page. So do head over to the Patreon page to get exclusive access to that podcast. It'd be massively appreciated. But yeah, just to touch on what you said as well, I think it was one of the things that Ox spoke at length when he was in the midst of his recovery was that he had Ryan Brewster alongside him in that recovery process, and that helped them get through it a lot more together. And that was really nice to see. And I think if there's any good that does come from this, it's that you've got two guys that are really close on and off the pitch who are going to go through this recovery together and lead each other through it step by step. I guess my only concern for Gomez now is when he came back from that last ACL, he came back absolutely wham. So hopefully none of that again, considering we've got a new bloody training facility that needs breaking in. but yeah, Glam, I'll come to you on this. I know you've got a bit of a nice spiritual connection with young Joe. How gutting is it for you? Because touching on what Anik said as well, he was going for a really good run of games where he was kind of after the Villa performance, where he was made to kind of, in other terms, put on his big boy pants and lead the defence. How disheartening is it to see him when he was kind of getting to that run of form, showing true leadership qualities, that now he's got to wait like 6 months to prove himself again?
Yeah, no, I was devastated for myself. I was devastated for him, I can't lie. Because as obviously Ellis has already said, Van Dijk's out, key figure, key fixture in the back line. Next in line is Gomez, isn't it? Matic, we know how he's in the decision, but Gomez, the only time he's been really injured, obviously, if he had a major, major injury. But just for him as his development, and Anik said as well, making it his own, and his, I mean, and you know, you get the few twiggles like, oh, well, Van Dijk's beside him, so he shepherds him, or Van Dijk's beside him, so that's why he feels he plays well, or that's why he's not top five, all that rubbish. So he would just wipe that out. Do you know what I mean? And obviously, I don't believe it's going to Van Dijk. Van Dijk's obviously enhanced and helps him better. He's a better player than Van Dijk, but he has his own ability and statures on his own two feet. And
I just think, do you mind if I jump in there real quickly? Because I feel like...
Yeah, I do mind. Can you finish? So 1 minute.
Uncle Glam. Sorry, Uncle Glam. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just think that you know, it's a real blow for him and his development, and I'm gutted for him, man. Go on, Marco.
So I wanted to touch on that 10 games point because
yeah, we're touching it, bro. Games, yeah. Hold the point and then touching it. They're coming in halfway through, bro.
Oh, wow. Glam has finished me.
So, I'm not too sure if you look remember, but a 10 game period where we conceded 0 goals last season. I'm not too sure. And for me, over that 10 game period, Gomez was the better out of him and Van Dijk over that period. And it's a shame that he isn't going to be able to prove that. Now, I remember arguing with Rayo and a couple others about Gomez being top five in the Premier League. I think based on ability and performance, he should be. It should be undebatable. And this run without Van Dijk would have given him that. Would have given him the platform to show that.
I'd question anyone to name before Premier League centre backs that are better than Joe Gomez.
And to be honest, I think two of them are at Liverpool. I think Matip's top five. If we're putting Gomez top five, I think Matip's top five. And undisputably, the best centre back in the world is Van Dijk. So we've got one. We've probably got three in Matip, and we've probably got number four in Gomez. Yeah. So it would have been a platform for him to prove his ability, and it was something I was waiting for. I think two episodes ago on the main pod, I was saying he's going to definitely prove it this season. And with Van Dijk being injured for this little period, he has proved it somewhat, but I would have liked to have an extended period of Gomez performances to draw from, which is unfortunate for him. And we do wish you all the best, like we said. So come back stronger, man.
Perfectly said. And yeah, it is a bit going because I think when you have those, you have a bit more of a longer analysis case that you can look back of games played on your own as a centre-back and not in that original tandem, you can find a lot more areas in your game to develop as well. So it would have been interesting to see from that point of view. If the coaching staff and the analytics team would have found little areas in his game that he could have improved on as well. But it is gutting, and it's shit for the player, it's shit for the club, and we're in a position where we've just got to get on with it. So over to you, Nat Phillips, Fabinho and Reece Williams. Not entirely confident in all three. In all honesty, I'm not entirely confident in Joel Matip to stay fit for that duration as well. So it just seemed like it's a little bit of a limp over the line until January, really. So we'll move into the next part of our discussion when we're going to talk about the festive running, which is fucking coming up again. Another brutal, brutal set of fixtures that we've got now until basically after January. And it's, we had a little bit of discussion last week of where if we were concerned about these upcoming fixtures. I mean, on paper, you look at the caliber of teams we do have to play, and all due respect to them, it feels like we've gone through the more gauntlet part of our season in terms of level of opposition. Again, with all due respect, Mark Jackson. So, Mark, I'll come back to you. The next 11 games that we've got, how are you feeling about that moral-wise, and how you feel that's going to go performance-wise as well?
Okay. I think morale-wise, people will bounce back after the setbacks. We have seen the clubs are, everybody at the club is a mentality giant, like they're able to get their head down when needed. I personally don't see a loss until Spurs, maybe, which is 16th of December. I would accept a loss at Leicester. Even though I don't want to lose at Leicester, I would accept a loss at Leicester with the circumstances at the moment. Salah out, backline completely in tatters. But I still want 3 points, and I still kind of expect 3 points. Other than that, I don't really see us being challenged too much other than the City game, Spurs game, and I believe Arsenal before. I mean, Arsenal's in that remit. But those three games...
I thought you said a challenge.
Well, yeah, just challenge in terms of, in terms of we need to be on top form on that day to get a point. Sorry, to get 3 points. The main thing that I'm concerned about is COVID and players getting dropped out throughout COVID, especially with games coming thick and fast. I believe it's a game every 3 or 4 days. And if a player does catch COVID, he potentially misses 3 or 4 games. So in that period, have we got people that will come in and do a job? I believe Shaqiri will be really important in this running. I believe Origi has a part to play. I want to say Minamino will be influential, but he hasn't given me enough in his spells. Like, he looks like a really, really good player, but he doesn't look like he can assert his influence on the game the way I want him to. And even though he might bag a couple goals, I'm not going to completely rely on him. I'm not going to even say my boy Naby as much as I want to. But I think it would be very, very important getting the right mix within the midfield for certain games. So being able to have a Naby who can unlock a defence, or a Thiago who can lock an defence for certain games without having them unavailable. And it's yet to be seen what Jones can do on the pitch completely in terms of unlocking the defence. Yeah, we've seen a couple good games. We've seen where he was at, arguably one of our better players at Atlanta. But I do want to see slightly more from him going forward, being a bit more progressive, getting into the box a little bit more. So we'll see how that goes and who's able to contribute over the period. But I still do not expect a loss until Spurs.
Bold predictions. Just a bit of a quick update on, obviously, fixtures and stuff. So this is until January the 2nd. So obviously, Sunday, 22nd of November, we have Leicester at home. Then we've got Atlanta next Wednesday in a Champions League game. Then we've got Brighton away on the Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. Thanks for that, Premier League Association. Then we've got Ajax at home on the Tuesday. And then we have Wolves at home on the 5th of December. Then we have Midtjylland on the 9th of December away. Then we've got Fulham away on the 12th of December. And we have Spurs at home on the 16th of December, Crystal Palace away on the 19th of December. Then we've got a bit of a break again. Thank you for the mercy. But I'm assuming this is because there's I don't think it's even that. I think it's just energy drink cup games that are probably scheduled in for that period of time. Then we've got West Brom at home on Boxing Day, Newcastle away 2 days later. And then on the 2nd, we have Southampton away. And again, most of these fixtures are probably subject to change in terms of TV schedules. That is fucking brutal for anyone.
Mental.
Yeah.
Mental. Yeah. Absolutely mental. Yeah, FA need to look how they are scheduling these things. Like Klopp said on a weekend, how can you play on Wednesday then play 12 o'clock on a Saturday? It's ridiculous.
Stupid.
It's absolutely stupid. And it's so stupid that Klopp was actually defending Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That's how stupid it was. I mean, we're in the midst of a pandemic, but you in your right infinite wisdom decide, oh yeah, we must play all the games. Like, come on, man. These guys are footballers at the end of the day. They're not machines. But coming back into Liverpool, yeah, I just hope that we can cope because COVID hasn't gone away. The players are going to be playing every 3 or 4 days. Hopefully we can keep everyone fit and firing. Hopefully the players that we need off the bench, Origi's, Minamino's, Curtis Jones, Naby Keita's, they can come in and do a job. Everything's just it's in a fine line, isn't it? It's just crazy, man.
It's insane.
I think from the list of fixtures that you read out there, Chris, I think the one that stands out to me that could be a tricky one is Southampton away, the very last one, straight after the new year. I know, obviously, Tottenham on the 16th of December.
Yeah, it's not a barrel of laughs fixtures when you look at it, really. Brighton away, that's always a tough game. Wolves at home, that'll be tough. Spurs, like we've mentioned, Palace away, that's tough. Newcastle away, that's always tough. So in terms of, you look at it in away fixtures, some tough games there.
Very tough.
But game. I think they're all winnable, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think, without sounding too confident, yeah. I think they're all winnable. For me, the Southampton one just stands out, though. I think Tottenham, with the run of fixtures that they have around that time, yeah. I don't think they'll be able to beat us. First and foremost, Champions League, I want that locked off. I want us to have qualified for that as soon as possible. I don't want to be middle of December scrapping around trying to get through.
Well, the good thing is we can.
Yeah, we're in the best position
next week, aren't we? So yeah. That'd be really good. And then again, like to piggyback off Elle's point and from what Marcus said earlier on as well, that then gives two games. You've got two roll the dice games where you can play your Minamino's, your Shaqiri's, your Origi's. Get them a little bit warmed up. You know, when it's cold outside, you go and put the car on for a little bit, 5 minutes. Get it warmed up, you know, get the engine there, you know, and then have them ready for that festive period. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really, really
and interesting. Ideally, if we do get the Champions League wrapped up, then that would mean, for me, Fulham would be a game where we can add in a couple youngsters. Maybe.
Nah, fuck that. We need goal difference pulling up there.
Fuck it. Let's go for goal
difference. Yeah, forget that.
I was thinking that week we could possibly rest some players in the lead up to Spurs, and that would mean everybody's fully fit and firing for Spurs. And
yeah, we can rest.
Running in that game.
But, I think the tasking thing for us in those games that I've seen, it's not really the player, the teams itself, it's just the schedule. How much rest can we get in, and how much, what percentage of fitness are first 11? That's the only thing. I think we've beaten all these teams that we've mentioned easily anyway over the last couple of seasons. Even in lockdown, we went to Newcastle, beat them up 3-1. We used like Nico Williams, Origi, and all that. So these teams every game is winnable because we've literally beat all the teams already. It's just how fit can we be and how fit can the players stay, really?
Yeah, I suppose travelling also.
Sorry, carry on, Nick.
I was going to say that the travelling also that's involved. You know, we're going away to the Champions League. I'm just looking at the fixtures now. We've got Midget Land on the 9th and then penciled in Fulham on the 12th. So by the time we come back from the Midget Land game, we've got Fulham like 3 days later. I know it's penciled in, they'll probably get moved, but all of this adds up and then and obviously lead to, you know, excess injuries, fatigue, stamina issues. It can always take its toll.
For games like that, would you not be happy with maybe like one of the front three starting? Because I feel like that's the area where we're going to struggle to rest our players the most. Salah, Mane, Firmino. Firmino slightly less than Salah, Mane because of the emergence of Jota. But do you think we could be all right in certain games with, let's say, Mane, Shaqiri and Takumi?
Yeah, we could be, but you never know, man. You just never know what you're going to get at that time in point. On paper, we should be okay with that front three of Shaqiri, Minamino and one of the Mane, Salah or Firmino. We should be, but then by when we get to that point, we don't know how much games they've played. We don't know where they are in their sharpness. So it's all within the context of where we are at that point. But like I said, I think we should be okay with one of them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Are you on about the Michelin game there, Mark, or the Fulham game?
Ideally for the Michelin game, I don't want to see any of the front three start. For the Fulham game, yeah, I would want to see two out of the three, maybe, at max. That's
two out of the three, I think you could do, because I think there's going to be, again, the main thing we need to hit on here is, if there's anything that our wonderful audience could take away from, is COVID is lurking, and you know, me being a massive wrestling nerd, COVID is lurking in the background like Randy Orton waiting for an RKO. It can strike at any possible time. There, it's about, man. And it can happen. And then you have to look at the knock-on effects. So let's say two of our midfielders get it. Now we're in a situation where we have to play 4-2-3-1, which then increases more burnout minutes on the attacking players that we have.
Yeah.
And then again, God forbid, two of the front four get it. Then we're in a situation where we're restricted 2-4-3-3, so that you don't have the tactical flexibility. And I guess that's a good thing. I know some people aren't happy about it when Klopp said the 4-2-3-1 or the 4-2-4 is something that we'll be seeing a lot more often just because of the options that we have available. But it's good that we have the tactical flexibility there as well to put in these break glass formations if and when need be. So it's a difficult one, man. And with obviously infections increasing as well, you need your players to be as responsible as ever too. So I'm thankful that we've got a good group of lads.
I'm not completely sure about this, and maybe I missed the news, maybe I'm not as fully aware, but is there anything like repeat infections with COVID?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I remember Dybala.
I was trying to use the technicality to say, oh yeah, Mane's already had it, so he's never going to get it again.
I think Dybala got it four times.
Yeah, Ronaldo's got it twice.
Yeah, so.
Okay. What's the Brazilian president's name? Bolsonaro. Apparently he's had it like seven times.
Yeah, he's had it bare time.
I was like, bro, what have you been doing?
he's one of them, don't wear masks. Basically, he's come out and said that, oh yeah, the Brazilian public need to stop acting like fairies and that, and they need to man up. I was thinking, bro, in a pandemic, come on, man, what the hell? Of course, everyone wait. So he's somebody that doesn't wear masks, and hence why he keeps on getting it. So,
madness, man.
He's absolutely.
Yeah, everyone can get it, man. I just think obviously because not everyone's not unwell, not everyone's showing symptoms, but once they do the test, whatever comes back, that's it. That is it. You know what I mean? Salah's kicking himself right now. I don't know whether it was because he went to his brother's wedding or whatever, but he is kicking himself right now, mate, because...
This is the thing about that. I don't think he would have been able to go to his brother's wedding if he got permission from the club, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Of course.
But
it's like you said... people there, man.
People.
Zero pandemic measures. Bro,
you see the Africa, yeah.
Just Africa, vibes.
Yeah, in Africa, they don't think that it's there. They just don't believe it.
That's cool. That's all cool, but brother, you know you're coming back to this bubble.
That's the thing. You know
what I mean? You're coming back to the bubble. You're not staying over there.
Yeah, I was saying.
So, yeah. And I know Klopp vets. I know Klopp is vets. Livid. Don't tell me otherwise.
Livid.
But I feel like Klopp will understand though. Your brother's reading, you know. You can't really.
No, he understands. He's understanding, but he's gonna be fuming. Yeah. Because what they would have done is put measures in. I don't know what measures you could have put in place, but they would have probably secured it more because Egyptian have tested him, innit? So when they've tested him, he's now been retested again, but also Liverpool want to test him again, but they've made it public already. Do you see what I mean?
So
that was my point exactly. Like, we don't know what's going on. Like, he might feel okay, but then he might get tested negative, which means that he might be available, but then now all of a sudden they say he has to isolate for 10 days. Like, we just don't know.
It's mad, isn't it?
What's going on?
FPL, this is FPL madness, you know. Like,
it's crazy. I saw Chilwell go down. I saw Son and it. I was like,
I'm just about to use my wild card as well. I don't even know if I keep Salah in this weekend. Like, what do I do?
This is where you keep your free hit, by the way, Panic.
Yeah, by the way, Marco, the best thing to do is play your free hit. If that works out, then play the wild card. That's the best tactic to use, mate.
No, I mean, I think before, if there's anyone else, if any of the topics were discussed, let's quickly get them in. But if not, I think it's a good note to end this pod on. I also want to say thanks to all of our amazing listeners for tuning in again this week to Copper Podcast. Hope you are staying safe and you know, keeping yourself sane during this this lockdown as well. I know it's tough on everyone, really. There's only so much PlayStation you can play, there's only so many books you can read, and so on and so forth. And now, if you do want to have a decent conversation, all the Coppa boys and girls are available on the Coppa account. So if you are wanting a conversation about our beloved football club, please drop us a message and we definitely will get back to you. But again, that has been your episode of Coppa Podcast for this week. Thank you very much to Anik, Ellis, Marco and Glam for joining me. I have been your host, Chris, and we'll see you soon.
Take care, people.